This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, President Trump stumps for tax reform.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
My fellow Americans, this is the right tax cut, and this is the right time. Democrats and Republicans in Congress should come together, finally, to deliver this giant win for the American people and begin middle-class miracle. It's called a middle-class miracle once again.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Call your congressman. Call your senators. Let them know you're watching. Let them know you're waiting. Tell them that today is the day for decision.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Hey, everybody, we're taking your call at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. You know, out of law school, my first job as a practicing lawyer was with the Office of Chief Counsel for the Internal Revenue Service. So I've been a tax lawyer as part of my career for almost 39 years now and still do a lot of tax law matters. So we want to get your opinion on this legislation. The president's calling it a modern-day miracle. He said it's a once-in-a-generation plan to reform America's tax code and tax structure. So let me ask you a very basic question. We've talked to our folks this morning. We've kind of got our policy analysis down on this, and we're going to talk about that. But we want to know where you think, how important is this tax reform issue to you? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. The framework shrinks the current seven tax brackets into three, a 12%, this is on the individual side, 12%, 25%, and 35%. Now, there is a potential for a fourth tier, which would be for people that are making in excess of net $5 million. But the basic tiers would be 12, 25, and 35. It would double the standard deduction. It would increase the child tax credit, would also allow for charitable contributions and also payments related to your mortgage would be deductible. It closes some other deductions, but the net effect of this is to simplify, but also to give more money to the American people. It's a real impact on what's called the middle class or middle tier taxpayers, but it really would affect everybody. But again, your comments on it, 800-684-3110. Of course, then there's the whole political side. Are we going to see another healthcare debate where they can't get it done? And I guess that's the first question I ask. Tax plan sounds good, reduces the corporate rate to 20%. I wish it was 15, but 20 is a great start. But is it going to pass?
Well, that's the big question, is not that people will get excited, because they do, about the idea of getting tax cuts that will impact them. We have a lot of small business owners that listen to the broadcast. The president talked about even, you know, folks who have family farms and being able to pass those down without the death tax impacting them. So there are there's a great level of excitement. We saw yesterday, we started talking about it. There's a huge question that was, people I don't think want to get overly excited. They kind of want to see this Congress get it done without needing them. But you heard the president. That's very difficult to get legislation done when you don't have pressure coming from the American people.
So this is the question to you. Are you willing to fight for tax reform? Yep. You were fighting for health care, and it didn't go out the way we hoped. And they say that's not over with. We're going to talk about. Actually, I'm going to ask that to Than Bennett now. There's a lot of comments, then, that there's now 50 votes for a health care reform. It may take till January. What's the story with this in Washington?
Well, I think they're still working behind the scenes. Senator Graham and Senator Cassidy are at the White House today talking about it. Jay, it does get more difficult. They would have to pass new reconciliation instructions or come back and change Senate rules. But the president, to his credit, as dead as it looks, he's not willing to give up on it. And quite frankly, since he campaigned on it and all of the Senate Republicans campaigned on it, I think that's the right call on his part.
Who would be the 50th vote?
He says he's got a chance with Rand Paul. He says he's got a chance with Lisa Murkowski, who is a yes. Jay, here's the bottom line. At this moment today, the votes aren't there.
And
he's still working
on
it,
though. When would the vote take place, then?
As soon as they got 50.
So it could be any time this year.
Sure.
Lots of battles ahead. We'll talk about it. We come back from the break in 30 seconds. Healthcare, tax reform. The president's also talking about an executive order, I guess, to expand insurance across state lines. That would do a lot to get the prices down. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Hey, we're in the last couple of days of the month here. We're closing with a very strong September. Your support of the ACLJ will put us over the top. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me go over the basics of the tax reform proposal. It will drop the rates to three brackets. They would be 12%, 25%, and 35%. Now, the lowest bracket right now is 10%. So some of you are saying, well, am I going to not be paying more taxes if I'm on the lower end of the income stream? The answer is no, because it also doubles the deduction. The standard deduction from $12,000 to $24,000. So that's a big differential right there. So it means the first $24,000 of your income is not taxed at all. So that's a big deduction. I mean, that's why the little bit of the increase there, the 12%, is not significant. On the corporate tax side, it's at 20%. We would have liked to have seen it in 15%, and which is what the president originally wanted. If they can hold to it at 20, it's still a net plus. I spoke to my brother Gary, as a CPA, he's our CFO. He said 20, would, if that's where it ends up, would be fine. And talking to other folks as well, I will tell you that I think at the end of the day, the simplification of this would also be significant. That does not mean this is going to be an easy hurdle to jump over. The president's rolling out this plan now. He's calling it this. Let me play it for you. It calls it a once-in-a-generation opportunity.
This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and I guess it's probably something I could say that I'm very good at. I've been waiting for this for a long time. We're going to cut taxes for the middle class, make the tax code simpler and more fair for everyday Americans, and we are going to bring back the jobs and wealth that have left our country, and most people thought left our country for good.
So the idea here is to get capital back into the United States. So again, I talked to Gary this morning. That's a big plus. But also lowering the rates corporately makes it, doing away with the estate tax, significant for family farmers, small businesses who can't, you know, you don't have enough revenue to do the planning. And there's just a lot of positive opportunities here. Let's go ahead. I think let's take some phone calls. We'll be joined in the second half hour of the broadcast by our director of policy, Harry Hutchison. He'll give us more of analysis on this, but let's go ahead and take some calls, Logan. Jordan.
Yeah. Marilyn's calling in on line three. Marilyn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. Hi, your program and your work is great.
Thanks.
I listen to you every day on either WAVA or Redeemer Broadcasting.
Great, thank you.
I have a question. Will the money that I donate to my church and other 501c3 organizations still be deductible my taxes?
They are keeping in the charitable deduction. So charitable deductions will still be one of, there's a lot of other deductions are going away. but because they're doubling the standard deduction. But the charitable deductions and deductions for your home interest on your mortgage payment will still be in there. And I think that was two big issues for conservatives. It was two big issues for the American people.
Yeah, I mean, the charitable deduction is big for all groups that are 501c3s, obviously, because people take advantage of that on their own. They're able to kind of give more because they're able to deduct it. And on so to keep that, even with doubling the standard deduction, is a big deal. And, of course, the mortgage interest is a big deal. And then for most people who are listening to this broadcast right now, the other deductions that were there, the line item individual deductions, were not being used by the middle class earners. Those were kind of the higher earners on up. So I think the president also said it's not a tax deal that would be good for people like him technically.
He can actually paying a higher rate, yeah, possibly, because they have a fourth rate they can put in place.
That's right. But that it would be good for the American people. He said that it's a bite 15.
Our framework includes our explicit commitment that tax reform will protect low-income and middle-income households, not the wealthy and well-connected. They can call me all they want. It's not going to help. I'm doing the right thing, and it's not good for me, believe me.
So in order to send this is what the bill is going to look like. So the framework eliminates a lot of the itemized deductions, I said. Inc. doubles the standard deduction, though, to $24,000. So that's $12,000 more of basically deduction you're getting without doing anything. So that's a lot. That'd be, if you were tithing 10%, that would be $120,000 worth of income you would be tithing off of that you're getting to deduct, basically $24,000 of that 24%. I mean, that's $100,000. That's a lot. So that's a big development, but it does allow for the mortgage interest deduction and charitable contribution. Then we're going to get some more calls here, but let's give everybody a time frame of how this is going to move forward.
Yeah, they're going to pass a budget next week to start that process. That's going to happen on Thursday, Jay. Then the Ways and Means Committee in the House and the Senate Finance Committee will start putting flesh on this skeleton. Jordan's talked about this a lot, but they'll start putting income brackets and other things on it. And Jay, one of the things to watch during that process, the thing that I'm actually most excited about this, you've talked about, you know, lowering the rates and simplifying the code, which is great. It's also going to take power out of the IRS, though, eliminating all those deductions and loopholes. We've talked a lot about drawing down on the deep state. This is one of the best ways to do it. Take power away from the IRS. And this framework would do that, Jay.
Yeah, it does, because by simplifying it, it's less power for the Internal Revenue Service. I think we should go right back to the phones. Yeah. We'll also start taking comments on Facebook and Periscope, so get those in, folks. We'll look at those as well.
Yeah, Mike's calling in from Maryland on line one. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Hey, just real quick, my question is, it should help middle America families, middle-income families, but it seems with the loss of the personal exemption, that a family of four that makes, say, $80,000 a year, they're going to be paying more.
No, because the standard deduction that you would get would be $24,000 up from $12,000. So it actually doubles the standard deduction. Does that make sense to Mike? So the standard deduction increase, I'm not going to give you individual tax advice here, obviously, but the standard deduction is actually doubled. So the personal deduction, what you're talking about, is a different calculation, but the $12,000 going to $24,000 would encompass anything like that. I mean, it just does mathematically.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think at $80,000 a year with what you're talking about, I think you're talking about the itemized, the line item deductions.
Well, let's ask
you
him, Mike.
Be able
Mike
to
what,
deduct
are you,
that
what are you talking about? You're talking about the per person personal exemption?
Yes.
So it now goes to $24,000 as the standard deduction. So it doubles that. What's your personal exemption
now? Personal exemption. So a family of four gets $4,000 right now as a personal exemption for each member of the family.
Right.
Which is $16,000 for, say, a family of four. So you have $16,000, and then you have your standard deduction,
which is $12,000.
Which doubles. It doesn't.
Well, I mean, you're talking the differential there of $1,500, but with a lower tax rate. So, I mean, part of this is you'd have your tax rates are going down. So it's you're both getting the exemption and the tax rates are going down. But look, this is where the people make a calculus, but you got to look at the overall. And by the way, none of this is until it's a bill.
Set in stone.
It's not set in stone,
I mean,
either. So all of these issues.
Percentages that can change by 1 or 2 points. And again, politicians may not see the overall impact, but all of you certainly do. I mean, people have keyed in on this. I think it speaks to the bigger issue of people like the idea of tax cuts.
Yeah.
But they want to make sure that it's, how is this tax cut affecting everybody at these certain rates? And we can't yet.
You don't have the information yet.
We don't know. It's say $80,000 family of four. We can't do a calculation yet
because we don't know where the brackets are coming in yet. That's not been announced.
The thought is that group would be at the lowest taxable rate. So you'd only be at that 12%. So I mean that would be again a significant change because right now you've got seven tax categories, you're definitely not at the lowest.
So no, you're probably in the mid-20s at that point, maybe even little.
Yeah, but mid-20s. You've got to get the numbers out.
But
that's what happens through the process of Congress.
So again, Than, going back to you in Washington, this is where we're talking in generalities because there are not specifics yet, but we wanted to give the framework of what we're talking about here.
Those are the exact questions that you're going to see asked in the House Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Finance Committee, Jay. There is a commitment that a family like Mike's talking about will not receive a net tax increase. And you're right, we can't get into the specifics, but I'll just say this. He's talking about potentially having to pay tax on $4,000 more of income. But a family of four, Jay, they're also not going to lose any of the child tax credit for either of those two children.
Right.
So he's going to more than make that up on the child tax credit. That's generally what you're looking at. But look, he's right. As this goes through committee, we're going to watch and make sure that it follows this framework to ensure that he doesn't get a net tax increase.
There has been tax reform. I mean, to be clear, there's been tax reform and smaller policies put in place. There's a lot of people who are hardly paying any taxes now in the United States. I mean, there's the people, I'd say, from the middle class on up, depending on where you define that, who get hit the hardest right now. But we have lowered these rates where there is a huge chunk of Americans that pay an effective 0% rate.
Yes.
After their deductions are done. And this would, I think, this expands that group. This actually increases the number of people that would be in that effectively zero income group after the double standard deduction.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls at 800-684-3110. Kathy on Facebook said, where can I read the new tax reform plan? Not yet, because we don't have, there are some pieces out
talking
there.
Talking points, bullet points.
Bullet points, but there's no meat to this legislation yet. The opportunity we have is to help shape this. That's what we're talking about here. We can shape this with your concerns, your issues, and see if we can put together a formulation that we can present to Congress on how to fill in this aspect. Here's the framework. This is how we want it to be applied. So this is a grassroots attempt for you to be engaged in that political process where it literally impacts your pocketbook. All right, come back from the break. We'll take more calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, favorite topic to talk about, taxes. But the president's got a bold tax reform. He calls it a once-in-a-generation attempt to reform taxes. It's going to increase the standard deduction from $12,000 to $24,000. It's going to have three tax brackets instead of seven. We don't know what income rate falls into those yet, but it'll be 12, 25, and 35 with the potential for an additional top tier for people making, they were saying initially, over $5 million of income. The framework roughly doubles the standard deduction so that typical middle-class families will keep more of their paycheck. It also increases the per-child tax credit. It repeals the death tax and the alternative minimum tax. So this would be the estate tax, basically, on transfer of assets would be gone. And this would be gigantic. What's the reaction on that going to be, Than, as far as you can tell in Washington?
Well, it better be significant. I mean, look, I
would
this
think
many
that
times.
Democrats would be jumping on this, too. I'm sure they won't, but they should be for their constituents.
They probably won't until Republicans demonstrate they can get their own act together. That's just the bottom line. They should be for it, though, especially in a state like West Virginia. Joe Manchin, this should be a no-brainer for him. But I would say this to the Republican Party, and I know a lot of our callers are skeptical for good reason. If you cannot be for lower rates and simplification of the tax code, Jay, you don't belong in the Republican Party. So we're about to see if that basic tenet of the Republican Party holds through in the United States Senate. I hope it will, but you know what? Let's wait and see.
Well, and it should apply to the Democratic Party, too. I mean, this is the middle class is going to want to get the greatest advantage here, more money into their pocketbook.
Yeah, I mean, people have said it's interesting that the left, I mean, this is just kind of a general idea, in America has had a great impact that the idea that everybody talks down the idea that this will not really help wealthy people. That was not really where Republicans were 20, 30 years ago with tax cuts. Now, they're very careful, Congress. So there's already been that impact, I think, at a populist level, not to try and benefit a small category of Americans then have that trickle down through the economy. It's more of a direct impact right at the heart of the American earner, the middle class earner, directly to them, instead of saying, well, if we cut the highest bracket earners, that will trickle down through. Now, there's a big corporate tax cut side of this. We haven't talked about that yet. The idea is that they would go from 35 at effective rate to 20%, so 15%
for corporations, the big, and the small businesses would drop from 35 also to 25%.
And that's a lot of people listening to this broadcast right now. You fall into that category. And the ease of filing taxes would change significantly for people. And the president mentioned that's a billions of dollar a year industry in the United States.
Yep.
Of just people trying to comply with the tax law.
So Don on Facebook said, how does the president's new tax plan affect small business? So it reduces the S corporation taxes to 25% from now, which is, it can be, 35 or higher. The framework reduces the corporate tax rate to 20%, which is actually below the industrialized world's average, which is 22%. We're one of the highest in the world, 35%. I was hoping it'd be in the 15%. And if it stays at 20, I'm fine with that. But if it still goes from 20 to 25, as I said, we talked about it internally earlier. I think that's a bit problematic. How do we put pressure on? This is what Peggy asked. Didn't work very well with healthcare. Can it work now? Great question for Peggy, Than.
Yeah, you just got to start now. I mean, the only thing that members are responsive to is their voters. And, again, we talked about it. There are not that many senators up for re-election, so you're going to have to talk to ones that aren't necessarily in cycle and remind them that you are going to remember 4 and 6 years from now what their vote is. But, yeah, you got to start now, and you got to carry it through to the vote.
No question about it. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, Dan's calling in from Minnesota Online 6. Dan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for all the work you do.
Sure.
I'd like to make a point here, and maybe you can answer it for me. I see this as a catastrophic problem. The reason being, right now the U.S. government can't take in enough taxes to balance the budget. And now they're going to lower taxes, counting on the fact that businesses will move back into the United States and bring jobs with them, which in turn will pay more taxes. But the thing is, why would a business want to take a chance coming back into the United States and have the next administration change things back?
Well, look, you're talking about the strategy on getting this thing passed. So, I mean,
it's not a quick, though. You don't see, like, let's say a Democrat gets elected for, and Senate change. You don't see major tax increases, though. That doesn't happen easily, just like tax cuts don't happen easily. That is, again, if you cut this significant, and that's why people say that. That's why people say if you're at 35, you got to get to 20, because if you have an administration come in a couple years and say, let's up it 2%, that's what we see.
right.
up at 2%. That's not going to effectively have all these companies making a huge risk. If you've dropped it 15%, they can then calculate over the next few years. Let's say you get a Democrat who raised it 4% or 5%. Well, you still lowered it so much
right.
that it's worth them being here. If it's not a significant enough cut, you're right, then you'd be risking it on multiple fronts. But I think for individuals, listen, if you want to shrink the size of government, you have to shrink the revenue coming in, the idea of what they can project will come in. And that's a big part of this as
yep.
well.
The president also understands that this is going to take level of bipartisanship, probably, at least to some degree. But he talked about that the House and Senate has to build, and that shouldn't require that. Technically, you have 51 Republicans. You 52, you should be fine. But we saw how that went with health care. But a lot of this bill would be very beneficial to the Democratic constituency as well. So I think it affects everybody in a positive way. So, again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Here's what the president said, number 7.
Over the next few months, the House and Senate will produce legislation that will deliver more jobs, higher pay, and lower taxes for middle-class families, for the working man and woman, and for businesses of all sizes. I look forward. Thank you. I look forward to working with Congress to deliver these historic tax cuts and reforms to the American people.
Well, there you have it. So there's a lot of work left to be done here because we don't have a framework. We don't have the guts of it. We're going to be working on that, putting together proposals. I'm going to have Fan in a moment work through the kind of strategy on where it goes. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. How important is this to you? Let's go to Victor, who's calling from Manhattan on line 2. Hi, Victor.
Hey, hi, guys. I just want to say this real quick. You guys are aces, and your whole family's blessed, and we thank you for all the good things you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, Jay. You deserve it. Jay, listen, the president, he's been constantly under attack from this obsessive left. Right now, he's the only one that's got the foresight, tenacity, courage. Right now, I believe, Jay, that if he's successful with his tax plan, I really believe that it will enhance his ability to influence the Obamacare take apart in 2018.
No question.
That's what I want to ask you, Jay. How do you feel about that?
I think you're 100% correct. This is a very important legislative move for the President of the United States. It's very beneficial to the American people. But the President's legislative shop needs a win. I do think it impacts how you then start viewing health care because you start figuring out how do you get there to 51. But that's what I think, Jordan. You said yes immediately. I think Victor's right.
Yeah, because it reinvigorates. If you could get this through, it's a more complicated, but it's an easier sell than the health side of things because, again, you're benefiting people. You're not trying to shift responsibility as much as you are, just more of a benefit. This would reinvigorate all of those issues. So as Stan's been talking about, the idea that health care is kind of staying under the radar but continuing on and trying to get to the 50
yep.
votes, and all of that benefits from uniting Republicans. And as Stan pointed out, if they're still Republicans, the idea that they generally support tax cuts is part of the platform of the Republican Party. So they should be all together on what is still, it's not like they're just cutting taxes for those making $5 million
yep.
or more a year. This is a major tax cut for the middle class.
He calls it a once-in-a-generation. Fox News, in their headline, called it Trump sells tax plan. There's never been tax cuts like we're talking about. And that's right. This is the biggest tax cut in U.S. history. I mean, this is big, especially in one piece of legislation. All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. ACLJ.org or go to Facebook where we're broadcasting the entire 30 minutes. Talk to you in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
say, when we're talking about tax reform, we're talking about health care. Let me just say one thing. President Trump is considering or preparing right now an executive order that would allow Americans to purchase health insurance across state lines. I want to tell you how significant that is if he gets it through. This puts competition in all 50 states. So these states where, Jordan, you've got one insurance or a county or a state where you got one insurance company that's only willing to underwrite there, now you've got 50. This will be a huge differential in as far as reducing the cost of health care insurance. Now, the executive action gives the White House a chance to follow through on at least one of the promises that the president made during the and what the Republicans made during the Senate debates that just took place. Our Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who's been opposed to the various plans that have come forward, first mentioned the action during a TV appearance Wednesday morning, yesterday morning, saying the president was considering taking matters into his own hands. If the authority is there, and I believe there's a way to structure it that it is, that would be go a long way, I think, in making a big, big difference. All right, we're taking your calls on health care. We're taking your call on tax reform. 1-800-684-3110 is our number. That's 800-684-3110. Real simple question for you. How important is tax reform for you? Then we need to look at the practicalities of it. We've got a framework here. We do not have the meat of the law. We now have the chance to influence that, and that's why we're talking about it today.
That's right. And I think that, you know, Tim's call on line four, he's calling in from Michigan. That speaks to the heart of this right now. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, hey, guys. I have to thank you, Jay. I thank God for you, not only being on the Lord's team, but the president's team, too.
Thanks.
So, if I get 10%, that would be awesome. I'm a single business owner, chimney sweep.
Yep.
Every year, my estimated payments quarterly have gone up about $300, $2,500 estimated quarterly last year, $2,800 quarterly this year. I'm one man, humble chimney sweep with a truck and some brushes and a vacuum.
Yeah, so, you know, but when you talk about an increase of $300 a quarter or three, you know, this is real money. And this affects people. Look, this is why comprehensive tax reform that reduces the tax burden on the middle class is so important. I'm not really worried about people making, you know, $5 million a year. And they're talking about making that a fourth potential bracket. But for the business owner, the small business owner, which is most of where employees are employed in the United States of America, you start reducing tax rates. Gary did the math. My brother Gary did the math. What was it like? We figured out a $1 million a year business. And
it goes from like a $300,000 plus to $150,000. So you're talking about
an extra $100,000.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, you buy equipment, you hire more people, you grow your business. I mean, that's.
Well, it's an important point to make is that it's not just about the small business owner like Tim. It's also about your employees. So if you work for a small business, don't forget the impact this has for your employer. It's your job security. Your job got a lot more secure if this legislation passes because your income level and the benefits that come with your position, that all is much safer if your employer is paying significantly less taxes in a year from now.
So, Than, let's talk about time frame here of what's going to happen. We only got about a minute before the break.
Yeah, next Thursday, the Budget Committee will pass out the budget, which will include the reconciliation instructions. They will then send it to the House Ways and Means Committee, and the Senate Finance will start their process as well. Both to Tim's question and everybody else's, Jay, that's where the legislative text that deals with these specifics will be written, will be hammered out. And I would just add very quickly a third point to the one you and Jordan just made. Tim's customers, Jay, they will also have more money in their pockets to actually get his service. So it works all the way through the economy.
Yeah. No, this is a big deal. All right, we'll be taking your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. ACLJ filed a new lawsuit yesterday. American Center for Law and Justice against the State Department. This is on Samantha Powers. We'll talk about that at length tomorrow's broadcast, but I want to focus on tax return. But again, while we're talking about tax reform and health care reform, understand the ACLJ litigating in federal court to find out what was going on and what continues to go on this surveillance and unmasking. All right, we'll take calls at 800-684-3110. Be joined by our Director of Policy, Professor Harry Hutchison, coming up in the break. But again, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls, and don't forget, support the ACLJ. Easiest way to do that, ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Kathy on Facebook asked, what could this mean for nonprofit organizations should the tax reform legislation pass? Good. On two fronts. One is it lowers the tax burden, which means more money for people that want to donate, to be able to donate to organizations. Number two, it keeps in place the charitable deduction. So that's one of the few deductions, that and the mortgage deduction, that will stay, because they're going to double the standard deduction for a family from $12,000 to $24,000, and that's a big increase. Professor Harry Hutchinson is our Director of Policy and Law and Economics Professor. Professor Hutchinson, kind of your view of how, I mean, it's just framework right now. Obviously, we don't have the meats of it. We're going to be heavily engaged in that with our Office of Government Affairs in Washington. What's your sense of the outline?
I think it's a great outline. Clearly, Jay, we need comprehensive tax reform that delivers a fairer, simpler system, particularly for the middle class. And I would say that if the Republicans can't deliver on tax reform after failing so brilliantly on health care, then I think we need to agree with Lindsey Graham in his statement. He suggested that Republicans, if they cannot repeal and replace health care, they ought to be horsewhipped. Jay, I think it's time for us to begin to think about leading a grassroots effort to make congressional horsewhipping mandatory if the Republicans fail to deliver on tax reform.
Let me just say, that was Harry Hutchinson speaking in his individual capacity and not the policy of the ACLJ to engage in horsewhipping. There's other things I'd like to do, frankly, on this, because I think what they did on the healthcare thing was a disgrace, and we talked about that at length, so I'm not going to talk about that anymore, although it may come back up. But, you know, I don't think it's a given they're going to get this either, but this, I think the president's going to be working this bipartisan. I'm convinced he will be doing that.
And that's why you're not going to get a specific, you can get the rate plans, but you're not going to get a specific income group. I think you could fairly estimate where you are, but that's all it would be at this point. And it's not certain that, you know, just because it says, you know, 12, 20, all these numbers, that's where it exactly ends up. These are kind of the, if it ends up being a bipartisan effort, this is the negotiating starting point.
Yeah, I don't want that corporate tax rate going up from 20 to 30, because then you only save 5%.
Well, and then I think you get into what the caller pointed out, which is that the companies will not come back because the next administration could bump it up another 2%, and then you've effectively back at the same rate again.
It's
got to be big cuts.
From a tactical standpoint, I mean, the president is going to approach this in a aggressive way, already is. He's out talking about it. They're rolling this out. They're going to give Congress work. I think Democrats would be hard-pressed to not at least look at this seriously as it impacts the middle class.
I think that's true, Jay, except for one thing. Many Democrats are still blinded by the Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, true.
So that anything that the president proposes, they are prepared to oppose,
even if it helps
on
their constituency.
Principle, even if it helps their constituency.
Yeah.
That's particularly true because they are focused more, I think, on fundraising from special interest groups than actually helping their constituents.
How do you argue, though, with a tax reduction that impacts the middle class like this? I mean, why would a liberal Democrat, and let me ask this to Than, our director of government affairs, what are they going to say? Oh, we really hate that you're reducing the tax burden on the middle class and you're doubling the standard deduction and you're allowing charitable deductions and mortgage insurance deductions and there may be a higher tax for those in the upper tier? I mean, how are they going to argue that? They will, but I mean, it is nonsensical.
You better do not do that in a state like West Virginia or Pennsylvania or Indiana if you want to get reelected, Jay. And I'll just tell you this. It was no accident that Senator Donnelly was in the audience after having flown on Air Force One when the president rolled this out. You said he's going to negotiate with Democrats. He's already negotiating with Democrats. And you know what? I think he's going to take their input and make it virtually impossible for them to say no out of the gates. And if you get them in the room to negotiate, then it's much harder to say no at the end of the day.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's take Ryan's call on line one.
Yeah, Ryan calling from Arizona.
It's a real question. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, guys. The thing I love about Trump, the most controversial that I hope he sticks to his guns, is no longer writing off your state taxes against your federal taxes. Why should I subsidize you if you're in a state that's inefficient? Hold your local officials accountable, not me.
Well, I think that's exactly right because, you know, if you're living in a state that's got a 13% income tax rate, say California, versus Tennessee, which is zero, or Georgia, that's 6%, or another state, Texas,
Arizona's
zero.
A low tax state. I know where Ryan's calling him from. That's a low tax state. Texas is zero.
So why wouldn't Florida the American people be forced to subsidize inefficient bureaucratic governments in New York and California? And I think this lays it on the table. Now, the question is, from a policy standpoint, how are the folks in California and New York going to react to that, Harry? I mean, because that's going to cost them money.
I think in the short run, many people in California and New York and Illinois will have a greater incentive to leave those jurisdictions.
It's already happening.
It's already happening. This will accelerate the flight.
Yeah.
And I think the caller is absolutely correct. Constituents in those jurisdictions need to hold their state and local politicians accountable.
Irene on Facebook said, if Congress won't do their job, they need to get out of office. I think that message is starting to be received pretty well in the last 48 to hours or so. You wonder about some of these, you know, Republicans that have been in office for a long time deciding now not to Corker in Tennessee, not to run. You wonder if it is this anti-establishment issue is really becoming a factor.
Yeah, but this is how you could turn things around for a lot of elected officials, is that you get things substantively done and the whole narrative changes. Suddenly, insurgent candidates can't run on the do-nothing Congress.
Right.
And when you can't run on a do-nothing Congress, there are no insurgent candidates because they have nothing to be insurgent about. So you don't have the same kind of primary issues. The people in Congress are much safer. So for actual elected officials, if you can get this done substantively, you can almost run off this for the rest of your political career. That's
going to be the biggest tax break in
a generation. Yeah, I mean, the healthcare changes were not nearly as significant as this would be on so many different levels. So you got corporate, individual,
estate.
And you've got the death tax. You have small businesses. So you have the impact on so many different levels of people. Whereas the healthcare changes, to be fair and honest about that, was the phase one of a multiple phase plan. This is not like that. This is comprehensive.
Yeah.
This is, as you said, it's decade, once in a decade kind of an issue.
Let's take a line six.
Yeah, let's go to Rita in Texas on line six. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Rita, go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you, Jay, for what you do for
sure.
us, how you put up and you fight. But
thanks.
I have a question.
Yep.
How is this going to affect Social Security benefits and disabled veterans benefits.
It's not going to. So it doesn't affect benefits. It's going to lower tax burden. So it depends on how your Social Security benefits fit in with your other income. But, Than, they're very specific in all of these plans to not negatively impact veterans or those on Social Security.
Does not affect any of those payouts on mandatory programs. This is all a revenue bill. And, Jay, I would just say this is why the president said that 20% corporate tax line is a red line for him.
Has to be.
Knows that if he can get it under the industrialized average of the world, the economy is going to boom. And guess what's going to benefit? Programs like Social Security, there will be more money there to pay for them.
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about the corporate side of this, but the fact is we're the highest, one of the highest tax rates corporately, Harry, in the world right now, 35%.
Absolutely. And we are competing with nations such as Ireland, which have a 12.5% corporate rate. And so essentially we are getting blown out of the water
in terms of
tax competitiveness.
Yeah. So it would make a big difference on getting revenue back here.
Absolutely. And so you have pharmaceutical companies relocating their headquarters to Ireland in order to escape high tax rates in the United States.
I think that does have – I mean, when you start looking at it both corporately, individually, estate, it's like you said, this is a once-in-a-lifetime move here.
Yeah, this doesn't happen. You know, this happens every few decades where you have major – tax,
but we haven't had really one since 86. So
yes,
it's the 80s.
Decades.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you're talking 30 years ago.
That's what I was saying. You know, if you're an elected official right now and you support this and this ends up doing what we say it would do over the next decade, this is politically, and the president acknowledged it too. It's not all about legacy, but you are making yourself pretty safe if you're a red state Republican. And you don't want to be dealing with these insurgent primary challenges, this is how you prevent that.
Yep.
That's why you don't have always these primary challenges like what happened in Alabama or what we've seen in other states. That doesn't occur every election cycle. It occurs after a few election cycles where the same party keeps winning and things aren't getting done.
Yep.
And it's particularly a kind of a conservative problem. You don't see a lot of Democrat insurgent issues.
So, Than, if you were betting on it here, what do you think?
I think it's going to get done, and I think it'll get done in the end with Democrat votes. I don't trust the Republican Party to move just about anything right now, and I think that's why he's already talking to Joe Manchin and Joe Donnelly. I think at the end of the day, you need Democrat votes, and you know what? I think this president might get them.
You know what? Good. If it gets it done, let's get the job done. The partisanship isn't working out so well for anybody. All right, we'll take your calls. Last segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So, again, if you want to talk to us, great time for you to do it. 1-800-684-3110. We open up a couple of lines. One question came in. You mentioned the executive order. This is from David on Facebook for insurance across state lines. Would that be a legal move or be challenged by the left? Good question. We're looking at that right now. I think it is legal. There's a way to craft it, but will it get challenged? It might, although it would reduce premium cost for people. So why would they challenge it? Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Segment of the broadcast. That means we take as many calls as we can. Where phone lines are open, 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yeah, Bill's called in from Minnesota online too. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, Jay. How are you today?
Good, sir.
Thank you for your good work.
Thank you.
I'm a recently retiree.
Yep.
And my question has to do with medical expenses and premiums. Last year, that number came to under $13,000 between expenses and premiums. And I know we're, you know, Trump would like to double, wants to double the
standard deduction. Yep.
But in looking at, I guess that my input is that somehow they need to include medical premiums and expenses in deductions, or at least a percent of it. You know, in looking at my 2016 taxes,
yep.
I had $24,000 in deductions, and I got an extra $8,100 from the exemptions. And not that I want to make this be all about Bill.
Yep, no, but I understand.
I think I'm going to be paying more taxes next year.
Well, under this plan, we remember, what we don't have is the framework as to where those percentages come in.
Right. How much is exempt versus deduct? That's the difference. Bill,
these are all the calculations that will be looked
technically
at.
Under Bill's deduction, by doubling it, the 8 to 13, he's still getting more. 24 would be more than 21.
Right.
So you'd be saving more money just off the standard deduction, regardless of your exemption.
If his family.
Yeah. I mean, so just the standard. So I think that's the calculations. You can't double a standard deduction and keep all the exemption, keep all the other deductions in place. They've kept
right.
a couple of the big deductions in place, but
and if we get tax and health care reform done, your premiums should start going down, not going up, Harry.
Absolutely. And as I understand it, there is no proposal, for instance, to eliminate the deductibility of medical expenses for people that are currently eligible.
Yeah, we don't know the meat of. We don't know the meat of how that comes in. Bill's question was a good question. These are all the things we need to be aware of as we work on the crafting of this.
Yeah, that's right. We don't have that specificity. The other thing we don't know is, Jay, where those income brackets are cut off. So I suspect that his overall rate would probably go down. And even as Jordan did the math there on the back of a napkin, if he has to pay taxes on another $1,000 or $2,000 of income, if he's paying 2% left, he's still going to get a decrease.
Exactly.
But those are the things we have to watch.
No, exactly
right.
And he's
retired. You know, whether the income level, I mean, that's
there's
a totally different
factors.
World because when you're retired, your income level is depending on what you're taking in and if you're investing.
How much you're taking out.
What are you taking out per year? Are you even paying taxes? Are you effectively at that 0% rate? That depends on a lot of different things. It can change per year for a lot of retired folks, too.
All right, let's go ahead and we're going to try to grab as many calls as we can at 800-684-3110.
Julie in California. So we talked about California and the state and the city. So it's also the city deduction. So if you live in New York or Los Angeles, it's not just the
13%
state deduction, but it's also what you're paying at the municipal level as well. And Julie's calling from California on line 4.
Hey, Julie, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hey. I wouldn't be saying what I'm about to say unless I had been educated by listening to your show.
Thank you.
I would be more than happy to give up my state and local income tax refund to the government because the state of California spends massive amounts of money on, ironically, health care, and a lot of it's for illegal immigrants, and they spend it on pensions and education. $531 billion right now on our state and local taxes.
Well, this is
and
why I also want comprehensive immigration reform, because you know what I want? These folks that are here paying taxes. I mean, I believe me, because you're not deporting 12. I mean, I know this isn't popular, but you're not deporting 12 million people. So at least if they were here working, get them to pay taxes to get the tax burden down on the people in the states that have the heaviest illegal immigration burden. I think you got to secure the borders and stop all the nonsense that's been going on. But for the people that are here, figure out a way to get them in a system so that we are having them as tax productive individuals. Now, I didn't say citizens, individuals. in the United States, Harry?
Well, for too long, average Americans have been subsidizing Californians and New Yorkers.
Yep.
And so any change that removes this subsidization, I think, is a step forward.
Yep.
If you live in California, tax rates are outrageously high, and this subsidizes special interest in California and New York.
But the weather is fantastic.
Average workers in North Dakota and Tennessee
right.
and Texas should not have to subsidize California.
You're paying 13% in California because you get nice weather. Nice weather's nice. I don't know if it's 13% nice, but it's nice. All right, and more efficiencies, maybe your taxes would be lower.
Joanne is calling in from Ohio on line 5. Joanne, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hey, Joanne. And by the way, we have a huge listening. I think our largest listening market is Southern California. So we love California. Don't get us wrong. All right, Joanne, go ahead.
Yep. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just looking for some understanding in regards to the corporate income tax rates, which are based on net income after expenses. And so, you know, from my perspective, you reduce your corporate tax rate when you do things like raise your employees' wages, invest back into the company. So I'm really struggling to understand how lowering the tax rate
raising your employees' salaries can reduce your tax burden in the sense that you have less taxes you have to pay out, but you also have less profit. When you reduce the tax burden, you can not only raise employers' profit, employees' salaries, but you can invest in equipment. I mean, it's a double savings with a double impact. So, yes, you could zero out your corporate tax liability by increasing expenses.
With shareholders.
But if you're a publicly held company or even a privately held company, you could have a shareholder issue. But reducing the tax burden directly reduces the outflow of dollars. And to me, that's the answer to this. That's why we like this framework. Again, we're not saying we're backing this bill because there's no bill to back yet, but we do like the framework.
Yeah, a quick one we can answer is Mike in Maine on line 6.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you guys for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a quick question on the death tax penalty. The last I knew, you were still exempt from $5.5 million, and with that, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, but these farms that are valued at more than that because of their real estate, large property holders, they can't. It's not, doesn't even mean they have great cash flow. It's just their holdings, their asset value is worth a lot.
This has a different impact depending on where you live in the country. So a lot of the people that you see in a flyover country or in the middle of the country where people have big pieces of property and don't necessarily have the flow of income where they could pay the taxes off $5 million worth of property.
Right.
So instead of passing it along to their family, they've got to try to sell it, and then you've got to change.
Yeah, because you can't afford to pass it along. That's the problem, Harry.
The alternative minimum tax and the death tax are both eliminated or eviscerated by this particular plan going forward.
Yep.
So that should help.
Yep. And fans, so again, time frame, which is a minute left here. We're going to talk about more of this tomorrow. Obviously, it's a big issue, and a lot of people are calling. Sorry, couldn't get to all the calls today. We'll get to them tomorrow. Fan, time frame?
Yeah, next Thursday, you'll see the legislative vehicle pass out of the House Budget Committee. It will immediately go to the House Ways and Means Committee and the Senate Finance Committee. And then, Jay, over the next several weeks, you'll see hearings, the specific
questions. When do you think we get a bill on the desk of the president?
I hope by Thanksgiving. That's my goal. He's saying by the end of the year. I personally hope it's by Thanksgiving.
We got a lot of work to do on this, folks, but it's important for our families. It's important for our future. Again, hey, last few days of the month here, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching. We're not a matching gift month, but we're actually in the month of September is a big month for us, and we're ahead. And we could have the biggest September we've ever had with your help. ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org, as we filed that new lawsuit involving the Samantha Powers matter yesterday, your support lets us go to court. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.